Thank you, Mr. Miller. Thank you, Mr. Thuvenin, for a fine opening prayer. I needed that. I appreciate that very much. In this world today, there's not much good news at all. It seems like it's almost all the news we hear is bad news. But Jesus Christ came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. We won't go there right now, but in Mark 1, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the good news of the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God has, you know, I'll say two parts to it. There's the government of God, where the flesh and blood human beings will be living. They'll be ruled by God's family. And the kingdom of God that Paul said flesh and blood cannot enter. Those that enter that part of the kingdom will be spirit beings. They will reign on the earth. They will teach those physical beings how to live God's way of life. So today I want to talk about some of the blessings that those spirit beings will have in the kingdom of God, those that inherit God's kingdom. And hopefully, brethren, that's you and me. We desire to be there. That's our goal in our life, is to be a part of God's family. But I want to look at some verses today that seem hard to believe. Matter of fact, we might even think they're blasphemy, some of these things that we're going to look at. But it's true. I want to go first to Revelations. Revelation 4. Revelation chapter 4. I'm getting Revelation here. Revelation chapter 4. Now in verse 10 it says the 24 elders fall down before him, and this is talking about God the Father, who sit on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, can someone move this back a little bit? Just pull it away. It's right in my face. So the 24 elders, they fall down and they worship the Father, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will, just by God's will, they exist and are created." And he sustains them just by his will. Now over in chapter 5 in Revelation, let's go to chapter 5, and verse 11, it says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. And thousands more. And they were saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb." Now we're talking about the Lamb. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings." A little bit more here than it said about the Father. Well, I'm not sure if you thought of this, you may have. But these attributes that they are saying that the God the Father and the Jesus Christ is worthy of, do you know that you're going to receive these same things? And we're going to look at some verses that show that. First, I want to go to Luke 21. Luke 21 and 36. Luke 21 and verse 36, a memory verse for all of us. Luke 21 and verse 36. Jesus says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now, being counted worthy is mentioned four or five times in the New Testament. I want to take this word worthy and look at it. Webster's Dictionary's definition of worthy, it means having value or having worth, honorable, having sufficient worth or importance. Now, in Revelations, where it says about Christ and the Father, "You are worthy," that word is Strong's number 514. It's called axios, A-X-I-O-S. And the definition of that word, worthy, is being worthy. Worthy of something, deserving of one who has merited just anything. God is worthy. He doesn't have to be accounted worthy. He is worthy. And Jesus Christ is worthy. Because they've never sinned. They are perfect in every way. Now in Luke 21, 36, the word worthy there, where it talks about being counted worthy, which is referring to the saints, hopefully you and I, it means to deem entirely deserving, to deem it entirely deserving, to deem worthy, to be considered worthy. So Christ is saying that we are to pray that we may be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man, and we know that's going to be in the kingdom of God as spirit beings, as Son of Gods, as children of God, and as we talked about in another message, that we're going to be God beings. And that's not new information to you. The church has always taught that. That seems hard to believe, that you're actually going to be a God being. Well, these words that I want to talk about, power, glory, honor, blessings, we'll look at each one of them individually. But I'd like to say that even though we are to be counted worthy to accept these things, that we will never be exactly like the Father. The title of the message is, "You Are Worthy." I gave a message last year. The title was, "Bringing Many Sons to Glory." That's from Paul. He made that statement. And that's exactly what God is doing right now. The whole purpose of the universe, the whole purpose of God's creation, is to bring children into His family, bringing many sons to glory. Let's go to John 17. The book of John 17. The true prayer of Jesus Christ. Jesus was praying to the Father. In verse 5, He says, "And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself with the glory which I had with You before the world was." Now, we all know that Christ was before He became a man, that He was with God. He was God. And He had glory. And He says, "Restore that to Me." But look down at verse 22. Look what He says here in verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So, when you're changed from flesh to spirit, you are going to receive glory. Honor. Let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and 24. It says, "And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth." Who are going to be the kings of the earth? Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. The kings of the earth are the saints, those children born of God. It says, "And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." So they have honor that they're going to bring into it. So you will have honor. I'm going to go back to Psalms 149, the next to the last Psalm, and just look at something there I thought was interesting. Psalms 149. And I'll start in verse 5. And I think you'll see as we read this that this is talking about the time that the saints have power over the nations, which we'll look at next. It says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouths." Oh, verse 5. "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations." This is something that the saints are going to do after Jesus Christ returns. The kings of the earth are going to execute vengeance on the nations. "Punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains." Have you thought about having to do that in the kingdom? "Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment." Then it says, "This honor have all the saints." When Christ returns, there's going to be a war going on. And he's coming back with an army. And the saints are going to be a part of that army. Now, power. Let's go back to Revelation. Revelation 2. Verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. This is to the church of Thyatira. "But all of these blessings that the church are to get, that he who hears, and he who sees, and he who overcomes, these things that each one of these church areas were all to get." It says in verse 26, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works." In other places it says we keep his words, which we do, but we also keep his works. "Until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." So, as a son of God, as a God being, as a children of God, you're going to have power over all the nations. Riches. Let me just say that we're going to inherit all things, along with Jesus Christ. The whole universe we're going to inherit. Like I said, we will never be exactly like God. God will always be so much higher than we are. And let's go to Psalms 97 quickly and look at a verse there. Psalm 97. I thought this was interesting. Psalms Psalms 97 and verse 9. And this is talking about some of the gods of the world, some of the idols of the world. But it says, "For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." And that word gods is Elohim. And it's the same word that David used in Psalms 82 where he says, "You are gods." So I know this has to do with the idols of the world and the gods of the world. Paul says there are many gods. But I believe that this also applies to those saints that will be gods. And God the Father will always be exalted far above all gods. Now, some words that apply to God that I wasn't able to find verses that apply to the saints or the children of God. They may, I'm not saying they're not in there, but these are some words that apply to God. It says, God is awesome. I didn't see any verses that said that the children were going to be awesome. It says that He is great. Many places it talks about the great God. He is mighty. He has awesome majesty. I didn't find that word applied to the children. It may somewhere. I'm not saying it doesn't. But it says He has awesome majesty and glorious splendor. So God will always be above the children. But the children are still going to be God beings, and they are going to be worthy. If they overcome, they'll fall away. They'll be worthy according to God. He will count them as being worthy to receive power, honor, riches, glory. It's hard to believe some of these things are true. I know that even Christ, when He was talking to the Pharisees and that, they didn't believe it. They killed Him because He said He was the Son of God. So it's hard to believe. I want to go back to Mark. I want to go to Mark 1, which we didn't do before, but this will be the last verse. Mark 1:14. Mr. Armstrong often mentioned this verse to show that the gospel message was about the kingdom of God, not necessarily about Christ the man, which is what the world teaches. That is a message, but the gospel that Jesus brought was the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, after John was put in prison, this is Mark 1:14, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel or the good news. This is good news. Being a child of God is good news. Receiving power and glory and honor and riches is good news. It says He came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." We're to believe it. Might be hard to believe, but we have to believe it. If it's a hard thing for you to accept this, remember the man that says, "I believe, but help my unbelief." We need to pray to God that we do believe these things. Father in heaven wants children for all eternity to live with them so they can worship Him and love Him, praise Him, and serve Him. So brethren, don't let anyone take your crown. Endure until the very end.